With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
A is up to her old shit again, but we are just getting started here on post-show recaps with Pretty Little Liars, Original Sin, Season 1, Episode 1. I'm Jess Sterling, and of course, I cannot do this alone, although I've heard two can't keep a secret unless one of them is dead, so who knows what'll end up happening by the end of this podcast, but I am so pleased, so happy to introduce my co-host, one of the, honestly, probably the biggest Pretty Little Liars fan that I know, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, I am very excited, especially to cover Pretty Little Liars with you. I am a huge Pretty Little Liars fan, and I have been, goodness, for more than 15 years now, which is pretty sick. I, back in the day, read the books, watched the original series, mm-hmm. for better or for worse. But here we are at it again. I cannot believe it. And I'm ready to go on this crazy, zany adventure with you, wherever it may take us.
Yeah. So it's really interesting because obviously there have been many iterations of Pretty Little Liars, starting with the original book series, moving towards the ABC Family, ABC series.
Yeah, or that lasted, now known as Freeform.
Yes. That lasted a very long time.
I think 7 seasons, right?
It's a lot. Yeah. I fell off at some point in there. I did read like the first wave of books. Arc?
Yeah, they call them arcs. Arc. So there's multiple arcs for the books. The first 8 books are part of the first arc. And then there's, I think, a total of 3 arcs. So you read like prime Pretty Little Liars.
Yes. Yeah. I eventually fell off. You have read like all of the books.
Yeah, I've read every single book, and I think there's at least 15 or 16 books.
Oh my gosh.
There's like spinoffs. And then I've watched every single episode, and it really, the thing about Pretty Little Liars is that the more you watch it, the more you hate yourself, but you just keep going and going, and you can't let go. And it was season 7, the last season, where I was just like, I am just so ready for this to end, but I can't stop now. And I never did.
Yeah. The good news is, for those of you who are joining us who either are checking out the show for the first time or maybe just seeing what our thoughts are on it before you check it out, you don't have to have like any Pretty Little Liars background information. We're working with all new characters here. We're working in a new town. And so it's on a different channel, right? Like, this is HBO. This is not ABC Family. This is not Freeform. This is none of those things. This is HBO. And so what I was expecting going into the show is for it to be a little bit more risque. It to be a little bit more adult than what we're used to seeing. And I feel like it met those expectations. So before we kind of get into the nitty gritty of the episode, just to let you all know, this is definitely scarier than the original Pretty Little Liars. We're working with some creepy stuff. Sarah, like I had compared it to, and I am not a huge horror buff, so I apologize if they are making references I don't get. I'm going to do my best. But it very much gave me like Scream, I Know What You Did Last Summer, like those types of vibes.
Yeah, I think that the tone of this show is definitely darker, both as a theme, but also watching it. It has like a very dark filter, cinematic filter.
Whole time I'm thinking like, how are you in this school with no lights? Like people turn up the lights, get higher wattage.
Yeah, the high school is very dark and creepy.
They like have a lot of the like flickering lights and I'm like, can we get a janitor in here?
I mean, the janitor like is not
The janitor is
So yeah, we don't have the janitor anymore to change the lights, but yeah, it is definitely a very creepy high school and a creepy tone. And I think that when we saw these phantom figures in the original Pretty Little Liars series, I mean, first and foremost, there was red coat, a mysterious blonde girl with a red coat. There was A, right, who always wore a black hoodie. Like, but this A, I can't even get a good gauge on what I'm looking at. Yeah. It just looks like a creepy Freddy Jason serial killer from afar.
Yes, it very much felt like, for me, like The Hills Have Eyes type of stuff, where it's like this big hulking figure with like kind of disheveled long hair. And like the face is so obscured that you really can't tell if like they're like normal, like if they're an average human or if there's something more going on.
I have a feeling that is likely a mask that they are wearing.
That would make sense.
I mean, Pretty Little Liars loves a mask. So well,
that, and it can, if they do a mask, they can really, they could be anybody.
It could be anybody. Exactly. So I mean, I assume that whomever it was, they're wearing a mask, but it is already, it was a long time in the original series before A actually murdered somebody. However, this A is vicious and is out for blood.
Oh, immediately. And so kind of before we get into talking deeply about the episode, I do want to put out a content warning for those of you who maybe are just tuning in and didn't watch the episode. We are going to end up talking about every moment of this episode. And with that, we're going to have to stop down on a few different things. The topic of suicide comes up twice, death by suicide. So just putting that out there, if that's something that you are uncomfortable listening to, we totally understand. If you need to skip this podcast, I did just want to throw that out there because it is something we're going to have to talk about a few times this episode. So just throwing that out there. But yeah, let's get into this episode because there's so much to cover. These are full on hour long episodes. They dropped three on today on Friday or Thursday, excuse me. And it's going to be like a 3-2-2-3 release. So how it's going to work is we're going to make sure that we cover all of the episodes that drop on a Thursday by the following Thursday. We're going to be releasing them throughout the week. Mm-hmm. So it is a bit of a strange drop order. This is just par for the course with streaming services nowadays, is you kind of never know what they're going to do with their release schedule. I feel like a lot of these streaming services love to drop three episodes at once to kind of really get people interested and hook people into a storyline. So we'll see if that pays off here. We've each only seen the first episode, so we are unspoiled.
Correct.
So yeah, let's get into it. Season one, episode one, Spirit Week. And I gotta say, Sarah, immediately this theme song, I was so pleased. I was so pleased because it's an iconic theme. The two can keep a secret if one of them is dead. Iconic theme, and they made it creepier.
Yeah, I really like, actually, I like all the music that they played throughout the episode. It was something that I was keeping note of, but I love this new spin on Two Can Keep a Secret. I just think it's just like so creepy, and the song was already creepy, right?
Yes.
But once again, there is something where this version is taking it a step further than the original series. So it's matching the tone that we're already getting.
Along with the visuals, right, of like the different girls that we're going to come to know, you'll have to, you know, bear with us. There are a lot of characters we're getting introduced to this episode, including all of their moms who are going to be important to the story. So bear with us as we get the names and all of that down.
Yeah, I started quizzing Jessica earlier because I was like, we're going to have to know these names. So I was like quizzing her like a pop quiz in high school. High school.
Very creepy high school. And so we start off actually in the past. We start off in Millwood, Pennsylvania.
Oh, girl.
December 31st, 1999.
Okay. For a split second, I thought that this series was going to totally take place in the 90s. Yeah. And I probably would have fainted from excitement. and I just, that would have been so cool, but it's okay. The song that's playing is Blue Monday, and this cover is played by Orgy, O-R-G-Y. It is such a good song. I've been listening to it all day.
Yeah.
All
day. I really like that they set the scene with, because I think as excited as we would have been if the whole show took place in the 90s, I do think this is going to be really relevant. I don't know if this is the only flashback we're going to get to the 90s. If I had my guesses, I feel like we're going to spend some time here.
I think if I had to guess, I would guess that, so we have 8 episodes, right, Jess? I think that in the beginning of each episode.
No, we have 10.
10. Wow.
Yeah. 3, 2, 2, 3. 10.
Okay. Yep. So we have 10 episodes. I think that we are going to get a little bit of the 90s, what the moms were up to every episode until the end when we can finally figure out what Angela, the girl that we meet, very first, who is crying mascara down her face, running and screaming for help. I think we're going to get the full story about what happened to her. Why did her friends betray her and they're like ignore her, and what's going on with all of this? I think we're going to know by the end of the 10 episodes.
I like that guess. It feels a bit like people are fans of Better Call Saul, like a quote unquote Gene scene where we get like a glimpse at his future in the beginning. This I can see that for the show, like us getting that.
I don't know Better Call Saul, but maybe I should check it out.
Yeah.
I know what it is. I've just never seen it.
Yeah. And so, so like you said, we do see Angela. She's just like she goes to presumably her friend group, who ends up being the mothers of our main cast, and asking for help. And they're like, no, we can't help you. Eventually she climbs a ladder and all the girls are dancing because it's New Year's, and she is standing at the top of the ladder. Her name is Angela, and she says, "Can you see me now?" And unfortunately, we get our, again, very triggering. And like, they put a content warning at the beginning of the episode, but I was still like aghast that it was so quick that we were just like hopping right in.
They did.
She jumps. And we see the body. Like, we know the result of the fall. Like, it's not good.
Right. So I just wanted to point out some of the moms that we meet as their high schoolers. So when Angela first runs to Sydney, she pauses and it looks like she wants to help Angela. And Sydney is Tabby's mom.
Okay.
So that's one thing. Davey is the girl that came up to Angela and Sydney and was really mean and said to Sydney, "We talked about this." And pulled Sydney away and was like, and try, it was ignoring Angela. And that is Imogen's mom.
Okay.
So, and then there's Corey, and I'm not quite sure who Corey is yet, but those are the three names of the moms that I've got thus far. Yeah. Sydney, we meet in the future. Davey, we meet to an extent in the future as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for capturing that. It is very difficult to follow all of this. But we are 22 years into the future, and we see Davey, Imogen's mom, making her drink milk with dinner. Was this a thing in your household? I feel like this is like such a thing if for 90s kids where like their parents would always make them drink milk with dinner.
Yeah, it really was. I always had to drink milk in the, like, at dinner. It was so gross. I hate milk. I think the reason why is because Imogen, we find out right away, is pregnant. Mm-hmm. And she needs to get calcium throughout her pregnancy. I say take a supplement. I say that you don't have to drink nasty.
There are other ways to get calcium. No, I just feel like I don't mind a glass of milk, right? Especially if it's like chocolate milk. That doesn't bother me. It's the milk with dinner part that is so gross to me.
Yeah.
Because like, what meal is milk going to taste good with besides like a peanut butter sandwich? Like, there's not much.
I don't know. We meet Imogen and her mom, and this is Davey in the future, the mean girl that really did not want to help Angela at all.
Right.
And they kind of have this – they seem to have a very good relationship, right?
Yeah, they're very close. Like, you could tell even when they're eating dinner and having this conversation that they do seem to have a very, very good – parent-child relationship, especially given in a lot of these teen shows, it's usually there's drama between the parent and the kid. And so here it seems like they are getting along just fine. And that's when there's a knock at the door. And so Imogen goes to answer. And this is when we first see that she's pregnant when she stands up. And so it turns out to be Karen. And now Karen is going to be a name that, like, we're going to say a lot this episode. And probably in terms of, like, F Karen, she is the worst. Do you think they named Karen because, like, she's a Karen? Like, do you think that's why they named her that?
I don't think that this is exclusively why they named her that. I think that they just chose a K name. But yeah, I think that in the day and age where Karens are being Karens, it's very hard not to associate that with each other.
Yeah. But Karen's, it isn't easy to remember her name because she's a Karen.
Very much so. And like, this girl, Mallory Bechtel, plays twins a la Lindsay Lohan in Parent Trap. Yeah.
No kidding. She really, that was her for both roles. That's so fascinating.
Yeah. So they, and I saw the little preview where she was talking about how to differentiate between the two twins, because she really is trying like full body acting as to how to tell which twin apart. Mm-hmm. And Karen exudes such confidence. She wears heels, she stands up straighter, while her twin Kelly slumps a little bit more, is more quiet, is more docile. So that's how you can tell the two twins apart. And once again, Mallory, this actress, is just doing full body acting to differentiate these two characters, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, she did a great job because immediately I hated Karen. Like, it didn't take very long for me to form a very deep hatred for her.
Oh, I know. And the way that she was so sickly sweet to Imogen's mom. Like, you know that girl. You know that girl that is being so mean to you, but being so nice and fake to your mom. And you're like, you just turned to her and like, I know you're a bitch.
Yeah.
Why are you doing this?
Yeah.
So essentially, it looks like what happened is they had a falling out, and Karen is there to collect her clothes.
Right. And so she hands over this envelope that she's like, oh, this was taped to your door. It says Davy, but the A is in red. And this is something I loved. I love the consistency of the red A throughout this entire episode. We get it in the beginning credits. There's a lot of red A's. We get it here. We'll get it later. We'll mention it because
I'll tell you, there's hidden A's all over the place as well that I was catching on to.
I think that's really fun. I kind of love the Easter eggs of that because it's not super important plot wise probably, but like for the hidden ones. But I just love those little Easter eggs for like the fans that, you know, you could rewatch and point out all the A's.
Yeah. And I, if you're a person that's never seen Pretty Little Liars, because they're not referring to this phantom person as A yet. So it might be confusing to people that have never seen the show or don't know much about it. A is the person that is sending these messages. This is who we refer them to. In the original series, it was a sign off as
as
who the girls in the original series referred this to. So the fact that there are A's everywhere is definitely an Easter egg or very obvious for somebody like you and me who knows what A means.
Right. Here it's a little bit more. Here it's a little bit more questionable because we kind of have two different situations happening where we have Davy gets this, like it's a flyer from the party from 1999. On the back, it says, "Gone but not forgotten. You can't ignore the past forever. The countdown is on." Right.
Creepy.
What's very interesting, though, is we have kind of two potential different situations happening where people like Davy from that generation are getting notes, but also their children are getting notes as well. And what's interesting is that it's different from the original Pretty Little Liars. They're not getting the sign off of love A, which always, it always was like A at the end of every
kind of
message.
Like Gossip Girl. If you're a Gossip Girl fan, like Gossip Girl always teased people, and the original A did also. They used you know, the girls as a plaything in a way. Like, those were her dolls. Like, I am just, like, playing with my food, essentially. This doesn't have the same lightness to it.
No, this feels less like I know your secrets and I'm going to expose you, and more like I'm going to straight up murder you. Like, it's much more horror than it is vengeful, for sure. So we go upstairs with Karen and Imogen, and Karen is going through her, like, Imogen's closet, taking her things, and we find out that something happened with Karen's boyfriend, Greg, and Imogen, and Imogen insists, "Greg kissed me," but Karen, like, doesn't believe her or just shuts her down. She moves to leave because she's done here. But they see a bunch of running water in the hallway. And so they go over and the door to the bathroom is ajar. And they open it and we see Davy dead in the bathtub that's overflowing. Seemingly a suicide. Again, like, not confirmed as much as Angela was, like, a very obvious case. Mm-hmm. This is more, for us, questionable. But everyone in this town seems to take this as suicide.
I don't understand how that could possibly be the case when there's a literal bloody A above her.
Yes.
In the tub. So if I saw that, that is straight up evidence of this was not a suicide. I don't understand why this wasn't a very big focus on my mom got murdered and how is there a question when there's a marker there. But we have to live in the world of make-believe when it comes to Pretty Little Liars.
Right. Especially because we don't spend any time on it because we immediately fast forward a month later in September. And I do love, again, they're telling us when things are, which I appreciate. I love when there are markers on the TV to tell me where we are in time. We find out we're a month later. It is September 28th on a Monday. And I love that they're doing, like, the A in day is red. I love that.
It's very satisfactory. It's, like, satisfying to see
yes.
the A's capitalized utilized throughout. And it really does, especially because it's the first episode. When did the original series end? It's been, I don't know, it's been 5,000 years, but just yesterday. So I feel like it was in the mid-10s, perhaps.
2017.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's been a while, and it just feels like we're back in it in a way. So it's very enjoyable. We're a month later, and we meet
Tabby. Tabby. Yeah. Tabby. Yep.
Yeah. And then with her mother, Sydney, who we met early on in a preview.
And I love that the show is, I think, being very kind and generous to us, in that every time we're introduced to a new mom, we get the flashback to 99 to kind of say, this is her. Like, don't, you know, I'm just going to make it very obvious and clear to you. This is that person.
Yes, I appreciate that very much so.
Treat me like I'm dumb. You know what
because,
I mean?
Because we kind of are. Because
we need, well, especially it's the first episode.
And we're meeting 15 characters at least.
It's a lot. Yeah.
It's a lot of people.
And so we find out Tabitha has been picking up a lot of extra shifts. She works at like a movie theater, and she says she wants to give Imogen her space. And so we find out Imogen is now living with them. And we see Imogen going through an old photo album, and she tells Tabitha's mom that she wants to go back to school, because the more school she misses, they were going to like make her repeat the grade. It's not, she needs something to do. So she wants to go back to school. Yeah. And we find out that Mrs. Hayworth was Davy's high school friend. So they were close.
Yeah. So which we kind of saw Sydney and Sydney Hayworth, I guess, and Davy were high school friends. And I guess they stayed friends throughout. They stayed friends throughout. But the girls did not know that they were friends in high school.
So fascinating that they did. And it makes me feel like they kept that a secret on purpose.
Exactly.
Like,
because yeah, they don't want to talk about their high school days.
It makes me feel like almost like the original series where the girls were friends and then broke things off because of a traumatic experience. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's connected in that way where these girls were friends in 99, and then the whole thing happened with Angela, and their friendship kind of went the other way.
Exactly. But I think these two people in particular, they stayed close. And it looks like, so I think like Tabby and Imogen, they're family friends, right? Like they kind of know each other. They're kind of friendly. They probably spent a lot of their childhood together. But it didn't seem like they were best friends like their moms were.
Because
it seems like Imogen was hanging out with Karen and the quote unquote popular crowd before this whole Greg boyfriend thing blew up.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. They feel like they would have been more acquaintances or friends by proxy, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like they kind of hung out sometimes.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Weren't super close. And what's interesting is throughout this entire episode, I don't know that we meet a single father. I feel like we only meet the mothers.
We meet Karen's father.
Oh, I'm sorry. We meet Karen's father. I meant of the core five.
Right.
I think that's very fascinating. I'm very curious to see, like, what is the deal with that? Obviously, Imogen is not living with her father. So is he around? Is he alive? What's the deal there? So Imogen, they're talking about selling Imogen's house, and so they're supposed to be going to drop off the keys like under the doormat, but Imogen says, I want to go in there, I want to grab something, like I'll just take the keys.
Yes, exactly. She wants to grab a photograph, and there's a little bit of hesitance. It seems as though Tabby's mom is selling the house. She's a realtor, and there's a little hesitance because they don't want her to, I don't know, like flip out or be traumatized or whatever.
I mean, but it's only been a single month. Like, that's not
a long time. It's been a month. Yeah. So they head over to the house, and I think it was very realistic that Imogen thought that she had it. She thought that she was going to be able to go into the house, and she just wasn't able to. It was too soon for her.
Yeah. And so we get like a little bit of like a flash back to what she saw that night. And so she just stays outside as Tabby leaves the keys underneath the mat. But we see a figure inside. And this is like a very common, this show, if you're not into jump scares, I would say like probably not the show for you. Between the music cues and the amount of times we see a random figure watching people, very jump scare heavy. Not yeah. particularly my favorite thing, though I felt like I could handle it with this show. It wasn't,
yeah.
it wasn't horrifying to me. You know, I could handle whatever was happening.
You know what is horrifying? The fact that Imogen and her mom lived across the street from a grave, a cemetery.
Oh, yeah.
So creepy. I don't know. Like, I don't think I would be able to do that. Like, I feel like that would be creepy.
Hmm. I mean, I feel like it would be more sad than scary for me.
Oh,
I don't
really?
Know that I would be. I don't know that I have like a fear of being like haunted by ghosts or anything.
Does this reveal that I secretly I believe in ghosts? I didn't know that that was what
I mean, it's not that in. I don't believe in ghosts. I think it's more just like I'm not afraid of being haunted by one.
I will say that I don't actively believe in ghosts, but I don't mess with spirits. That's I respect fair. Them. You know yeah. what I mean?
You got your space, they got theirs. Totally
exactly.
fine.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole, but also, like, I'm not putting out sage everywhere and having seances. Once again, because I just want to respect them. Like, leave them alone.
Yeah. I guess I'm more of the mind of like, I don't know everything. I can't, I'm not that narcissistic where I'm like, I know everything there is to know about the world. So maybe there are ghosts, right? Like maybe things are haunted. Who knows? At least in this show, they want us to think that. So we're at Millwood High School and it is Spirit Week. And we're going to see way more of Karen than I thought we were going to in this show. She immediately is just, she's trying to be spirit queen. She talks about being traumatized and she hugs Imogen and whispers into her ear, "Nobody wants your pregnant, tragic ass here." And I'm like, "You're a monster, Karen."
I'm not going to lie. I did cackle a little bit when she said that. I was just like, Karen, how could you? That was pretty crazy, the fact that she hugged her and whispered in her ear while hugging her those awful words and then pulls back and is like, "Have a great first day." Yeah. Karen is crazy. Crazy Karen.
Karen feels like when we were kids, the villain of your teen shows, she feels yeah. like a caricature of that in a very good way. This is not me demeaning the show. This is me saying, I love when you give me a villain that I immediately can hate. Like yeah. what the only possibly like redeeming factor for Karen is that her dad is such an asshole that we understand where she got it from.
Right. Exactly. That's about true. It. She has a lot of expectations to be perfect in her family, mm-hmm. to be the best at everything. The fact that she might not win Spirit Queen is probably going to be devastating for her because that means that she's not the best. The fact that later on she doesn't get the part she wants in the ballet, that's devastating for her.
Right.
So there's a lot going on with Karen. Like, I don't think that she's going to be a two-dimensional character. Like, I think that mm-hmm. we're going to really learn a lot about her and what makes her click. But yeah, at first she's really, really easy to hate, and I just want to make sure that this show, it's like fun hate, right? Like we don't right. like shows that I want my villain to be a likable villain. Like, I want to like
you want to love to like, hate them.
You're a B. I know you're a B, and I enjoy it. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. And so we get Tabitha being so nice. She's like, "Listen, we'll sit together at lunch. Like, you don't owe anyone anything here." Then we see Farron enter. So our third Pretty Little Liar, I guess is what we can call them for now. Three of the five, which we should mention that we're getting an extra this show.
I love how this show thinks that we are responsible enough adults to handle
five of them.
It's like, excuse me, ma'am. Like, do you really think that I can handle a fifth Pretty Little Liar? Come on.
There's a whole lot. So we see her enter. She gave me like Boss B vibes. Like, she knows what's up. And then we see Karen being such a jerk. She calls a girl who's known by Mouse, because her name is Minnie. They call her Mouse, and Karen calls her Rodent. Because she's horrible. And
I mean, that's kind of like a sick burn. I don't know. She kind of is like, you know, I want her to be a Abby Morgan a la Dawson's Creek. Like, if Karen can get there, then I can easily root.
We
for
can
her.
Approve. Yeah. But the good news is with all of these different, because we have five of these Pretty Little Liars, at least they're slotted into kind of easy buckets for us, right?
Yes.
So you have Imogen, who is the pregnant teen, and her mom just died. You know, truly tragic. We have Tabby, who is a film buff, works at a movie theater, super smart. We have Farron, the ballet, the ballerina. And we have Mouse, who is the, like, kind of nerdy gamer type of person. And then we meet our last girl, Noah, who's giving her urine to the nurse. She has to do this every single morning. We find out she wears an ankle monitor, and she has to wear it for another 3 weeks. She's doing community service, and she's dating a jock named Sean. But we don't know.
He's pretty cute.
He's very cute. And we don't know why she's wearing the ankle monitor. We don't know why she's in all of this trouble. Because they're testing her urine, we can assume it has to do with drugs, but we don't know the ins and outs of what caused
exactly.
all this.
And I think that's something that we're going to be finding out in the coming episodes as well. In this scene with the nurse, we also meet Karen's twin, Kelly.
Yes. This truly had me for a loop for a second, because you know how it is when you're watching teen shows and kind of all the rich B blonde girls look the same. That's why first I was like, oh, her friend just looks so much like
they are actually the same. This time they're actually the same. So you didn't catch on that this was a twin at first.
No, it took me until their dinner to realize that there was two of them.
Yeah. Yes. And I'm not surprised. Sarah Shepard, the writer of the Pretty Little Liars books, loves twins.
She really loves
twins. She loves twin stories. She's written multiple books where the twins are a focal point within the book series. So I'm not surprised that I'm coming into the show meeting twins, because, like I'm saying, Cyrus Shepherd is the queen of twins.
Yeah. I do think it's interesting, though, that they did cast – they just found one person to play both parts, Mallory Bechtel. It's interesting to me, like, that they didn't look to cast twins.
Yeah.
But Noah is feeling very guilty because, like, they can't go anywhere. Her and Sean, they're always stuck home. And she really wants to go to the dance, not because she particularly likes dances, but because she's tired of being stuck home or just doing community service. And as soon as Sean leaves, she gets a text message that says, "Don't do the crime if you can't do the time." Mm-hmm. Which feels very, if you watch the original Pretty Little Liars show, feels like something A would say. Like, this, the little rhyme, the cadence feels very A.
Right. Yeah. Once again, playing with your food a little bit, just like a little tease. Yes. And obviously Noah has no clue who this is. And is she one of the ones that asks, who is this?
Yes, she asks, who is this? The girls have different methods of dealing with this, which I thought was interesting, and I'm sure we'll get into as each one of them gets a message. But then we're with Tabby in film class, and she immediately complains to the teacher that all the films on the list that they're supposed to be, like, doing a project on don't have any directors of color, and only two of them are women. And immediately I was like, Tabby's my favorite. Tabby's my favorite. Tabby's my favorite. Like, and it just kept getting, as the episode goes on, it just kept getting worse, where I was like, oh, Tabby's 100%
Tabby's yeah, the best. Yeah, I really like Tabby. I think that she's like really easy to fall in love with really quick. She's cool. She's smart. She has yeah. interesting interests. She has a really cool sense of style. I really yes. like Tabby as well. I think that the show also did a really great job of with diversity casting.
Yep.
I think that there is a lot of representation across the board, which I think is really awesome, especially, I mean, we had in the original series, once again, three of the girls were white and the fourth was Asian, which was really cool, actually, because Emily in the books was a redheaded white girl. So the books, yeah. it was all white girls. So it was really cool. And in that way, where it was 2010 and they did some blind casting and cast Emily, who is Asian. And that was cool, but it's especially cool to see such a mix.
Yeah, way more representation on this show, which is really, like you said, really nice to see. So far, I think the girls are doing a great job. Obviously, we're only one episode in, and because we're learning, we're like being introduced to so many characters, I don't feel like I know all of them just yet. I think I know some of them better than I know others. I feel the closest to Imogen and Tabitha, because I feel like right. we spent the most time with those two.
That makes a lot of sense, but we also get to spend the most time with their mothers as well.
Yes.
So I think that those two are kind of like how, I don't know, the first episode in the original series is pretty spread out, but we definitely, I think that by the end of the series, it was like Arya was a yeah. big focus and like Spencer as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Tabby gets a text message that says, "What's your favorite scary movie?" And she asks, "Who is this?" And they say they're a peeping Tom. So this gives me big, the "What's your favorite scary movie?" is like literally a line out of the movie Scream.
Yeah.
So I kind of love the, I don't know if they're nods or homages or however you want to phrase it, to these like very iconic like horror movies. Especially because Tabby is the one who is most interested in film.
Exactly. Yeah.
So Imogen is in class and they're discussing the Scarlet Letter, which of course they are. And she gets a text, "Look out the window." And there's that creepy guy, the same person. It's the same figure every single time, just standing out there.
Who knows?
Yeah.
They're wearing a gray jumpsuit. Kind of like a janitor or a plumber or like whatever would wear.
Yes.
And then it looks like a Chucky doll in a way. It has like long red hair, a beet red face. It's so creepy. Big, hulking, scary.
Yeah. Really terrifying. And so Imogen looks and then gets like asked a question in class. And when she looks again, that person is gone. So that is super interesting that again, and at first I was wondering, okay, are the girls like imagining this? You always have to wonder. We get that answer real quick in the end of the episode. But meanwhile, Mouse gets a text that says, "Can Minnie Mouse come out to play XOXO Mickey?" And she's sitting alone in a computer lab. She doesn't see anyone. And she just immediately blocks the number and moves on with her day.
Which I love, because the biggest question is always, why don't you just block the number?
She's a queen. I gotta say, Mouse, I have a feeling, I love Tabitha. I have a feeling I'm going to love Mouse. Like, I think we just haven't seen enough of her yet, but I feel like I'm going to relate highly to Mouse, considering she's like a cute gamer. She had like her very cute headphones that like they were different colors.
Is it the fact that she literally is spending her time on Discord?
Also,
did you notice yeah, that? That's what she was on when her mom was like, "Who are you talking to?" And she's just like, "Nobody." She was on freaking Discord.
She was. I love Mouse. I love Discord. I think it was also, yeah, the thing for me when her mom comes in is like, I hate when people knock and then immediately open the door. What is even the point of knocking? Her mom, I was like, "Oh, you lost points for me."
How much time do you need for a grace period between entering after a knock?
At least a few seconds. What if someone's naked?
Yeah.
She could have been changing.
What about opening up the door and then knocking as you're opening
the
door?
No, that's worse. It's worse. Yeah. It's worse. Yeah. And so then we are seeing like the different, the ballet, group here getting parts for Black Swan. And Karen is being a real Karen. It's just like, what part do I have?
Wah. Yeah. So her twin sister gets the White Swan. We get Farron who gets the Black Swan. And then Karen is left, you know, without a part, but
it's like someone's mom she plays.
She gets the queen, which is someone's mother. So she's not she's happy pissed. With the part. She's pissed. She goes right up to Farron and is once again really fake nice to her. And then she continues throughout the episode to insinuate the only reason why she got the part was because she's a Black woman, which I thought was like total BS. It's like, how about she's just a better dancer than you, you freaking loser?
Yeah. Yeah. That was really awful. That to me skirted the line of a villain I love to hate. Cause that to me is like a villain I actually hate. You know what I mean? She never actually says the words, but we all know.
Well, every single time it keeps getting cut
off. Yeah.
But she finished the sentence. That's what she's insinuating.
Exactly. Farron gets a text message that says, "You're going to slay as the Black Swan." And when she looks around the class, like everybody's on their phone because this is like 2021 or whatever. Everyone's on their phone. Let's go to a quick ad break because when we come back, we're going to be in Pittsburgh. So we will be right back.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, we're back. And we have Farron calling her mom to tell her the news. She's like, oh, will you come? I know you're not, you know, you really hate high school things, but it'd really be nice if you did show up. And this is, again, because the show thinks we're dumb, which I appreciate. It shows us that Farron's mom was one of the girls at the New Year's party.
Right. And then I get the realization that each of these girls are daughters of the mom from right. of a mom from the original friend group, which I thought was really cool. I was like, interesting, very interesting.
I thought this was a new cool twist. I agree. I like the spin on the average group of girls being terrorized by a storyline and having the moms involved too. Not only because we're hoping to get 90s flashbacks, but also because I like that we're involving the parents more. I think in the old original Pretty Little Liars and a lot of these teen dramas, the parents are always like really stupid and they just let their kids do whatever. And we're always like, why are the parents not more involved in their lives? Wives. You know, I'm talking about A Pretty Little Liars, talking about a Gossip Girl. I'm talking all of these shows. And so this show is going to keep the parents involved and keep us guessing, because it seems like there are like two different groups that are going to be getting terrorized. So I love the twist on this.
Yeah, I thought it was really, really cool. I did not think that the creepy janitor is really, really cool. Did not like him.
No, a little creepy. Imogen gets questioned about whether or not she's going to raise the baby alone. And so she goes to the nurse and she says, I want to get rid of it today. I want an abortion. Me and my mom are going to raise the baby together. But now I think the best option is to just get an abortion. And the nurse is like, Imogen, you're 6 months pregnant. It's too late for that. You can wait 3 months though and give the baby up for adoption if you want to do that. And this kind of hurt my heart, like this whole scene, just because we don't know who the father is. Like, I think there's kind of question as to whether or not it's Greg, but who knows?
Well, at one point they said that it was a lifeguard. And then we see a flashback of Imogen sitting on a beach.
Okay, so it could be just some rando, I guess. But regardless, it kind of stinks because we know Imogen and her mom were very close, and that mm-hmm. was their plan. And now with her mom gone, she really is just like at a loss with what to do.
Yeah, I can really sympathize with Imogen that to be a teen that's pregnant is hard. To have a mother that wants to support you and the baby and raise it together is amazing. And then to lose that support system when you don't really have anybody else, I could understand why Imogen is at a loss on what to do. I think that she should be a little bit more knowledgeable on the state's policies.
Yeah, but later, you know, I think later in the episode, she says, like, I just had a panic attack.
Yeah,
like,
a panic attack. It's fine. Yeah. It's fine. So I think that, like, she really needed to confide in somebody at this point. I think that mm-hmm. being a month after this traumatic event while, you know, growing a baby is a lot to handle for anybody, yeah. let alone a 16, 17-year-old girl. And I felt really bad for her in this moment.
Yeah, I did too. And then we bounce back over to Noah, and Karen is trying to like force Noah to vote for her for Spirit Queen. She says, it's a shame that you have to work with all those thugs. Say hi to my dad for me. And I was like, of course Karen's dad is a cop. Like, yeah, who's shocked here?
Well, yeah. At first, for a millisecond, I was thinking, ooh, is like Karen's dad a thug as well? But no, he's the cop. He's the cop. Yeah. So Noah has to do community service, pick up some trash. The father sheriff is rotten. I don't know. He already has an attitude.
Yeah, Sheriff Beasley. Which I recognized this actor from Smallville of oh, all do things. You?
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
He played a jock in Smallville, like a real jerk too. Oh. So unsurprising. He looks like he'd be typecast for like a jock bro douche, you know, mm-hmm. And he plays into that role. And then we see Tabitha go into the boys' locker room and pulls a GoPro out of like a hidden spot. And I'm like, girl, what are you doing?
Yeah, this was weird, right?
I can't wait to find out what the deal is with this. Like, what? It doesn't feel like she's doing it to see some butt. Like, it really doesn't feel like that. Like, yeah, this is not her version of porn. I think
she's doing some like investigative journalism or something like that. Like, what goes down in the boys' locker room behind closed doors?
Well, we know she loves movies and films and stuff too. And so I wonder if she's like a filmmaker of some sort and she like is like a documentary type of thing. But it did make me think of the fact that the person who texted her said they were a peeping Tom. And that's exactly what she's doing.
She's a peeping Tom.
Yeah. So maybe they know.
That was a good catch. That's interesting.
But she ends up being late to her job at the movie theater. And her coworker is named Chip. And he's like, I don't want a mop. It's Tabby's turn. But Wes, her boss, is like, she's going to help me with popcorn. And I was like, favoritism. I'm noticing it.
Jessica, did you notice? So you know how at movie theaters when people have their name tags that has their favorite movie under it?
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I missed what the ones on their tags were. I didn't notice.
Guess what Tabby's favorite movie is.
Is it Jurassic Park?
It's Jurassic Park.
I knew she was my favorite character.
You and Tabby are just one and the same.
We are.
Yeah. Oh, don't Peeping Tom me. Get out of here.
I love Tabby even more now. That's amazing. Did you notice? I didn't even notice what was Wes's. Did you pay attention to it?
I'm trying to catch it, actually, but they haven't done a close-up of his chest.
Oh, okay.
So I haven't been able to read it. Yeah.
So meanwhile, we see Noah being watched from a window as she picks up garbage. Mm. And she notices the person. I thought she wasn't going to. And she says, "I'm reporting your ass." And so she goes, runs off to Sheriff Beasley to tell him about it.
Yeah, there was a hidden A in this scene. It was really cool. It was like some sort of like traffic barrier, and the angle that they did had a big A in it. It was really cool. Oh my gosh,
that's so cool. See, now I want to rewatch the episode to find all of them. And so she goes over to the car, and this guy, this sheriff, is getting a blowjob from a teenager in a cop car in the daylight during community service.
Welcome to Pretty Little Liars.
Yep. I was like, up until this point, I was like, wow, we're actually, I mean, yeah, there's some teen stuff, but it is feeling a bit more mature. And then we got here and I was like, there we go.
Yeah, I think it's just random scandal. It's interesting to me that it is Karen's scandal, right? Like, this is not when Allie and Arya walked in on Arya's dad cheating,
right?
And it was Arya's secret. This is Karen's secret, which
is so the villain has a secret too.
Yeah, which I thought was interesting because obviously we're looking at everybody and we're like, well, who's the suspect? Like, who's responsible for all of this?
Yeah.
At least like I'm trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
And obviously, I mean, Karen is like kind of like the scapegoat. Like red herring.
She's the easy one to think that it is. Yeah. So she's probably a red herring. Yeah. So we're back at the movie theater, and Wes, if you don't watch Dawson's Creek, Wes just feels like such a Dawson to me, where he's into movies. He's super into horror. And he's like, "Oh, Tabby, you remind me of one of the girls I did it at NYU." And I'm like, great. Now he's hitting on her.
Yeah. And she's like, "Oh, my dream school." So obviously whenever they talk, he's always talking about NYU.
Right. And so she asks for a favor. She wants to screen some older movies for the students at Millwood with directors of color, with female directors, because her teacher's a jerk. And he says, yeah, she's like, "Listen, we don't have to charge them for the movies, but we could charge them for concessions. So we'll make money on it." So he agrees and he offers her a ride home. And I was like, ugh. Because like, I don't know that we know how old the girls are. I had assumed like 17, maybe they're juniors.
Yeah.
But we know that he is out of college. And so he's at least 22.
Yes, exactly.
And I was like, why are we doing this? Why can't she be dating stupid Chip? Like, why do we have to have her date Wes? Not date,
know.
But you know.
Do you want to know Wes's favorite movie?
Yes, please.
Reservoir Dogs.
I've never seen that one. I'm sorry to everyone who has.
It's a classic.
But yeah, so he offers her a ride home. We go back with Imogen. She did go back to her old house. And she's kind of like hanging around in her mom's room, going through everything, going through the jewelry, putting on the perfume. She finds the ultrasound photo of when her and her mom went like for the first time to see the baby. And it's like up on her mirror. So like she can see it all the time.
Yeah, on her mom's mirror, because she's excited about the baby and she's excited for her daughter.
Yes. But then she finds the flyer.
Ooh, yeah. And yeah, so she finds it, she reads the note, and I think this questions kind of what she probably was already doubting in her mind, like what really happened to her mom that night.
Exactly. And so then we get Noah getting home. She's like, "Oh yeah, community service was okay." And her mom is like, "Well, good. You don't need bad influences. Like, you don't need to be around bad people." And we again see a flash of her
flashback, just like I was.
Yes. And she is some kind of something in the medical field, because she has said she has a graveyard shift. So she'll be leaving for work.
Yeah. And she's wearing scrubs.
Yes. And then we see Wes is driving Tabitha home. He pulls over like smoking something. And he's like, you know what? You're something else. You're special. And he says he has like put in a good word for her with his professors at NYU. And all of this felt, I don't know about you, none of this to me felt genuine. All of this very much felt like I'm doing this so that I can like get an in with you, or, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. None of it felt like genuinely he wants good things for Tabitha, but I don't know if that's just me reading into things too much.
I think that he probably does want Tabitha to go to NYU, and, you know, he's able to put in a good word, but I think what's more important to him is that he hooks up a Tabitha.
Exactly. And so we find out she's a filmmaker and she has like these big dreams of going at NYU. He holds her hand. He goes for the lean in. And before that, we see this figure in the distance, and he notices the figure too. And I was like, okay, so this is the first time we're seeing someone other than the girls see this figure. And I love, and this is what solidified Tabitha as my favorite, was Wes was like, stay here, like all men in scary movies do. Stay here. Let me be the big strong man for you. And he like is like, I'll go out. And she's just like, no. Like, do you know about Zodiac? Like, he could be a serial killer. Let's just go.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that was really cool. She's like, no, I don't need you to save me. Like, let's just go. Like, yeah, why are you trying to fight this like creepo guy?
Yeah, I'm like, also that guy is massive. Like, the figure they show looks like 7 feet tall.
It's just going to be like two tiny 16-year-old girls piled on top of each other. It's the twins.
Oh my God. What if it's the twins with a scary mask on and they just have put like padding and they're ballerinas. So they're really good with like dexterity and poise.
Yes.
I think we've cracked the case. Did we figure this out in one episode into the season?
It can't be.
And can you imagine? That would be such a Pretty Little Liars thing to do, though, for that to be the case.
Yeah. I feel like the thing is that I remember back in the day, I used to study body types with like the different figures that you would see, and like look at the eye shapes and all these things. And the fact of the matter is that they don't actually use the actor or actress, they just use stunt doubles. So it's like, please don't pay attention to the body types.
We're older and wiser now. So Tabitha gets home late, and her mom's like, oh, we have dinner. She's like, no, I ate like 3 buckets of caramel popcorn, which I'm like, girl, that's
hey, I love popcorn. I could probably do that.
How is some popcorn?
I rather just butter popcorn. I don't want the caramel popcorn, but it's fine.
Popcorn. So she goes upstairs, locks her door, and boots up the GoPro, and she's watching all these naked boys, so many butts, going across the screen, and she's like taking notes, and I'm like, girl, what are you doing? What is happening?
I think that she's trying to do like a documentary type of thing.
I want to say that this is like not nefarious. Like, I want to say she has a reason for doing this because I love her so much.
Yeah.
But like, girl, what is the reason?
I think it's like an inside scoop into the boys' locker room. Like, there's always, you know how there's like always like locker room talk? And like,
yeah.
I think that that's like, if I had to make a guess, like maybe that's what she's trying to do.
I guess, but it's still like such an invasion of everything, you know.
We see full frontal in this.
I mean, this is HBO, baby. Yeah, we're gonna get some peen action.
Yeah, I saw a D.
If anybody watched Time Traveler's Wife, the HBO loves butts. They truly do. And there was a decent amount of butt action.
HBO's greatest passion in life is the butt.
Yeah, so a lot of badonks here. Specifically the male badonk, HBO loves. So we're in Tuesday with the A being red, and we're in dance class. Farron is dancing with Henry, and it gets pretty steamy. I don't know. I was feeling it. They had it going on. Things were good. And her teacher was like, I noticed she didn't stay to practice last night. And she says she has work. And so she calls her into her office and they have this whole conversation about where she wants to go to school after high school.
Yeah.
And Farron insists that she wants to go to ABT. Is it like the American Ballet?
Yeah.
Something or other.
Yeah.
But apparently the teacher knows that
American Ballet Theater.
Thank you.
In New York. Yeah.
I kind of figured it was a New York school. We find out that the teacher knows that when Farron was younger, she had scoliosis. And she like basically threatens to tell ABT about Farron's scoliosis because she's like, they won't want to take a risk on you.
It felt very ridiculous to me. Farron is actively dancing every single day without injury, and ballerinas have like a really, really difficult regimen. They have to be, they're like so regimented and there's a lot of practice involved and they have to dance every single day to keep their talents up to par. She can handle it in a higher learning setting. It felt very silly to me that this was the blackmail that we were doing.
It also didn't make sense. I don't understand why this teacher is on her case. Like, you gave her the best part. Obviously, you think she's the best at it. I don't understand why you're threatening to tell ABT about her scoliosis.
Unless there's like some stuff with like the dad seems like he's really high power in town. He's the sheriff. The girls didn't get what they wanted. Like, maybe there's some sort of like weird situation there.
It could be. It just felt this to me was the one storyline where I was like, I don't quite get it yet. Like, I think I need more information or more just time with Farron to totally get what's going on here or like why the teacher is the way she is. But we're off to be with Mouse again, who's on a computer in the computer lab when a guy comes over and his name is Ash. And he invites her to their Spectrum Club. And she's like, I saw you looking at the flyer. And she says she's not into extracurriculars or groups. And he says, listen, it's just a great place to meet and talk. We have great snacks. And she's like, oh, I love snacks. And I'm like, girl, me too. I love a snack.
The caramel popcorn.
Yes. What a way to get introduced into a club is by the snacks. And so he asks if she wants to have lunch together. And she seems into it. I thought this was very cute.
Yeah. I thought that it was interesting. Like half of these things, it's really interesting to see who their significant others are, their friends, or whatever it is. And I was very intrigued. I did like, by the way, I didn't really comment on it, but yeah, I thought that dancing was really steamy too. Whoever that guy is, I would like to know who he is.
Henry. Yeah. We need to know more about him. And then we see the principal and Imogen meet, and he's like, the nurse came to see me. We're a little worried about you. The high school may not be like able to help you with what you need at this vulnerable time. And, she's like, please don't kick me out. Like, I really want to be here. And he's like, oh no. But I have a responsibility to the entire student body. And this line.
Yeah,
this line had me too. Me, Ted. Some of your classmates are triggered by your presence. Yeah. I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, I felt like that was really ridiculous. Like, this whole scene also, it was just the fact that, I mean, I do think that she seemed like she was in a little bit of a manic state. So I understand like her having to talk to a guidance counselor or principal as like a check-in. And I do think that the nurse did have a responsibility to report her just to make sure that she's like okay. But the fact that people are seemingly complaining about Imogen being there and that it is triggering for other people.
It's Karen.
So that's what they're saying, like essentially saying, and that's what Imogen assumes. And she kind of once again just like goes off to like blow up on Karen, which I don't really think helps her case in the I'm perfectly like mentally totally cool. capable of being at school right now in this situation, which is unfortunate, but
I did like that the view of the cafeteria that we get is super interesting because it kind of points out what we already kind of suspected, which was none of these girls are really friends currently.
Nope.
We have Farron sitting with Henry. We have Mouse sitting with her new friend, Ash. Tabitha is, I think Tabitha's by herself, like waiting for Imogen maybe. Of course, Karen is with her boyfriend, Greg, at like the jock table. And so Imogen comes in hot. She is heated. And she's like, are you effing serious, Karen?
She like blows up on Karen. It's like, it's pretty great to see Imogen like rip her apart. And I like how she goes to Greg too, and she's like, you're a piece of crap too. When are you going to tell the truth about what happened?
She calls him a coward, which I loved. Will you finally tell her the truth? And she says Karen is unhinged. Or no, sorry, Karen says Imogen is unhinged. And Karen's like, you don't belong here. And I love Imogen. It's just like, you know what? This is such teen drama where she's just like, you know what? To get back at you, I'm going to be spirit queen just like my mom was.
Yeah. I'm going to run now opposed to you. Because she was running unopposed before. And then she just like storms off, takes somebody's french fry, just like total like teen show movie shenanigans. But all the other girls, all the other liars are like rooting her on and is like, I'll vote for her.
Yeah, so they all are very happy to see Karen looking a little stressed. And then we go straight to Karen's house, where she is complaining. She's like, everyone's insane. They gave the lead role in the ballet to one girl because she's, and her dad is just like, is she good? Like, is she better than you? And this is when Karen's like, no, I don't think so. They're sitting in a very nice house. Like, they have a very large dining room table. Karen and Kelly are sitting next to each other. Kelly is very quiet throughout this whole interaction.
Yeah, you can tell that she really is not the center of attention at her home. It's usually Karen who's taking up all that space and attention. And Kelly's job is just to be the more submissive person. It's almost like Kelly is like not that different from her mother, who watches this entire interaction in pretty much silence until she offers up dessert for everybody, while her dad's going on and on about, he's like, we have these like nice clothes and this nice home and this nice life because I am the best at what I do. And that's how you're going to succeed, if you're the best. And if you're not the best, then you're pretty much crap. And this is how Karen is the way that she is, because this is how she has to live her life in this competition with everybody else, especially herself.
Yeah. This was so fascinating. Like, her dad is the one saying, just be better than everyone else. That's what you have to do. And their family dynamics are so strange, and we'll get more about it from Karen later. But first we're with Mouse in her bedroom. She's on Discord. I love her. She gets a message from Ash, and her mom again just doesn't even barely knock and just walks right in. She's like, who are you chatting with? I would be like, mom, none of your beeswax, get out of here.
But the Discord she's on is Hilarious Toucan. What in the world is Hilarious Toucan? What's so hilarious about it?
To me, that sounds like it would be just like a random like gaming Discord.
Okay, this is so weird. Okay, so Radioactive Stomper, I think this could be her. She goes, "Hi, how old are you?" Doom Villain says, "Yeah, this ain't Mexico, kid." And then she goes, "Please don't ask to marry people, even as a joke. It can make people feel uncomfortable, or weird." Like, what is this? I don't know.
I wonder if they just put random writing in. I feel like it's just
random words. Because no, they're like, this person says, Elf Tool says, I have the VR headset for the VR part, but it doesn't support my GPU. So no clue if it would
work.
What
is a GPU?
And then Uncle Robot says, no, you're not. Just kidding.
Uncle Robot?
Like, this is just like all over the place.
It's gibberish. It makes no sense. I think they didn't think anybody would stop down on it.
Yeah, I think that they like really just put random
it's
words.
Like that. It's like that system you can use when you just want to see how something's going to look, and they could put random like words in. It looks like words, but it's just gibberish all like gobbledygook together. That's what it feels like this is, but they're actually using English words.
Yeah, I have no clue. Is, wait, hold on. The server admins is, their Discord name is she okay? The answer is okay? No. No, we're not
okay. None of these people are okay.
But Ash requests her on the Discord, and it's a chat request.
And she's all smiley about it, and it's so cute. By the way, do we know what the Spectrum Club is? Like, I thought I saw that with like the image was a rainbow, and like,
right, that's what I thought that it was.
I thought it could be like LGBTQIA.
That's what I thought it was. Or, and that's kind of like the off color any situation joke that Karen made as well, because she said like, you don't have to come out, we already know, type of thing.
Yes. And something like that, or I was thinking spectrum is often used as a term for like autism. Like, are correct. You on the spectrum? And so like, right. I thought that could be it too. I'm just, I was just very curious, but because I don't know if we'll get, I assume if this continues, we'll see Mouse like in the club. And so maybe then we'll get a better idea.
Yeah.
So then we're with Karen and Greg at like this little pizza place. And she's like, well, you have to get a suit. He's like, well, I have a sport jacket. She's like, no, you need a suit for the spirit thing. And he apparently knows all about these effed up family dinners that they have. So he is in the know on Karen's family.
Yeah. Greg seems like a relatively good guy, I guess. At least like in the sense of like he, I don't know. It's, maybe he doesn't seem like a good guy, but he looks, it looks like he gets like beaten up by Karen a little bit.
Oh yeah. And he's not gonna take her stuff lying down either, you know?
Probably, but still, he's still dating Karen.
Yeah. She calls her own mother pathetic, and Greg's like, doesn't care at all about ballet. And she's just like, you know what? I support you at your stupid football games, even though you never win. You're lucky I let you touch me. And so he gets up and is also, like moving to leave.
Also, she shames him about eating pizza.
That was so rude. And he's just like, I just ran however much at football practice. Like, Karen, why'd you come to a pizza place then?
Yeah, Karen, and you're eating pizza too. Like, leave him alone.
Yeah, and you're like all bent out of shape about this whole ballet thing. And so he gets up to leave, and she's like, you're not even going to pay. And he like throws the money down. He's like, F you, Karen. And as we all want to say,
I don't know. I kind of like Greg. I don't know why. He like is definitely Karen,
probably.
Maybe that's why. He's like, you know, totally a shit, but like he seems like pretty cool.
I have a feeling we're gonna find out, like, because we know something happened between him and Imogen, and I have a feeling that he hit on Imogen and Karen caught them when like he was kissing Imogen. That's just my guess though.
Well, no, that's like, that is what happened. That's what they said.
But we never saw it though.
Okay, we'll see it.
I'm saying. Meanwhile, we have Farron, who is by. Oh, anytime anybody's alone in these horror types of things, I'm like, no.
Yeah, Farron, like, why are you dancing so late at night at the school so by yourself?
Though. Ballerinas do stuff that I'm just like, how are your toes not broken in half?
Yeah, this actress, she goes by one name, Zaria.
Oh my! She's trying to be the next Zendaya, isn't she?
Well, I think that she was in Blackish and Two Distinct Strangers and a show called Dad Stop Embarrassing Me. But obviously she's a dancer as well. Gorgeous girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she's practicing and we see the creepy guy right behind her, and she sees him like in the mirror that she's facing. She turns around and he's gone. So she, unlike Tabitha, who's super smart, starts to look around for the guy. And instead she runs into the teacher, who's like, why aren't you practicing?
I'm like, because it's 11 o'clock at night. Off? Yeah, it's 11 o'clock at night. That's why I'm not practicing. I need to go home. I have homework to do.
She's the worst. Tabby and Imogen are talking about Imogen being spirit queen. They're like sitting at the table, and Imogen's like, well, I had a panic attack. Actually, I had a series of panic attacks. She says it's all so impossible now that it's just her. She's like, me and my mom are going to raise this baby together, and now I don't know what to do. But I did go back to my house, and she says that that night that she died, she got the flyer. She's like, I have no idea why she would leave me that way. And Tabby asks if she left a note, and Imogen shakes her head, but she does have the ultrasound. And like, I feel like this is further proof of like, or I feel like Imogen is getting it through her head of like, this couldn't have been on purpose, because she told me everything was going to be okay. She was going to be there for me. This doesn't make any sense. And so she's kind of working through those feelings, and Tabby's like, but you should run for Spirit Queen. Let's go Tracy Flick on this bee.
Yeah. Which, we just watched election for the first time, the two of us, a couple weeks ago on the Discord.
Yeah. On the Pusher Recaps Discord.
Is she okay? it was great. What'd you think of election overall?
I love the movie Election. I think it's wonderful. I think it's really funny. It's Reese Witherspoon, like a very, very young Reese Witherspoon. This is a very fun film. And I love that Tabby is the one making this reference. I think it makes sense. She's just like, you know what? Even if you lose, like, it'll really piss off Karen. So I feel like this is a great idea.
Yeah, they're fun. I like that they're developing a better friendship than they had.
Yeah. So we have the janitor cleaning the dimly lit high school. And there's this big creepy guy just wandering around the halls, and he's like, you can't be here, bro. You can't be here. And again, unlike Tabitha, all these other people are dumb, and the janitor walks outside, and I don't know, is he in like a tool shed? Like, what even is this building?
Like the janitor's closet, right?
I don't know. But he walks in, and there's all this like weird stuff. There's razors, there's ballet shoes, a empty urine sample cup. There's a rat.
A collection of oddities.
Yep. And the creepy guy is back.
For the girls.
Yes. And he's just like, this is off limits. This is school property. You know what? I'm calling the sheriff. And this guy wastes no time. Just shoom right on his throat.
Yeah. So this is A's lair, essentially.
How that's very wild that is that close in like proximity to
the school. It's like we have to keep close. Also, there's Karen's posters there. So this is just like a whole big collection of like, it's like A's lair where they're doing all the activities of whatever. But yeah, it's like really, really close and easily found. So it just seems a little silly.
Yes. Yeah. And we're going to see all this stuff come into play very soon, because now it's Wednesday. Emphasis on the A. They go into school, and Karen's posters are defaced, and there are posters of Imogen everywhere. And on them, the A is red. And this is if we're going to call out the most like the nonsense in the show, this is the most nonsense of the nonsense.
What that this big hulking guy is now some sort of graphic designer and putting posters all over up the school and like writing horror and crossing out like Imogen and putting devil horns. It's like, I have to go draw on every poster now. Like, this is my job.
You know, what's funny is, I didn't think of that, but now that I am, I'm just imagining that big hulking figure going to like a printer Staples. Store, like a Staples, going walking in and asking for posters for like a high school Spirit Queen competition, and then being like, the hell?
It's like FedEx Kinko's is like open 24 hours, and they really utilize that for the situation. And then he goes to the school, and that's why he was in the school putting up the posters.
Yeah.
And then that's when the janitor found him.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of work. I'm not going to lie. Like putting up those many posters.
Full-time job. A lot of work. Yeah.
Full-time job.
And Tabby and Imogen immediately get called into the principal's office, and like both of them get in trouble. And I'm just like, I understand thinking Imogen is behind this, right? But what the hell did Tabby do? She's standing there, and they're like, you too.
You're in trouble too. It's like, where's the evidence? I don't understand.
This is so dumb. And then Karen is like in class. She tries to grab something out of her bag, and then her hand is covered in the most fake blood I've ever seen in my entire life. It's not even red. It's like pale and like too thin to be blood. And there's a dead rat in there. And so then Mouse is like on the computer lab as always. This girl doesn't go to class. She's just
always in the computer lab. And a teacher interrupts her at the computer and he's like, the principal wants to see you. And so they think that she put the dead rat in Karen's backpack because Karen calls her rodent all
I
the
mean,
time.
That does check out.
That's one fair, but like if you don't have proof, how are you giving all these kids detention?
Go 1 + 1 = 2. I don't know. Like that one, like, yeah, probably was mouse. I don't know.
And so then the nurse tells Noah that her test came back positive for weed. And Noah's just like, that's wrong. That's wrong.
I would request a retest and for somebody to literally, if I was
watch me pee.
That's what I would do. Like,
I would too.
I demand a retest. That's what I think that was ridiculous. But so now, like, her punishment is worse than it was.
Yeah, because now she basically, so instead of calling the cops, she called her mom. She has detention and now she has to do pee tests for the rest of the summer or for the rest of the semester. And then we're in ballet class and Karen goes to put on her ballet slipper and her foot is bleeding because someone put razor blades in her ballet slippers.
So every single time I put on a shoe now, no matter what kind of shoe, I'm always going to be looking for razor blades.
Yeah, yeah.
Never.
And Karen's like, Farron did this. Farron. And I'm like, why the hell would Farron do this? She has the part she wanted. Exactly. This makes no sense.
Well, that's what I know, but that's what, like, that's literally what Karen is saying. She's like, why would you do this? You have the part. You have everything.
None of this made sense. All of this beyond Imogen honestly felt like racial targeting of like, oh, it must be these girls because the white girl said so, which I know is like really gross, but like it makes no sense. Make it make sense, HBO.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know. I mean, it's just so silly how they really just like gathered all these girls into detention.
But they, I think it's just because they're like, well, we have to get a way to make them be friends and get them together. There's no other way to do it besides we're going to breakfast club it. This has happened in every teen drama. It happened in Dawson's Creek. And it all started with the Breakfast Club. And now we're going to do it on Pretty Little Liars, where all these girls are stuck in detention. And they all start talking about, like, oh, all of this is Karen. And we find out from Imogen, her and Karen were friends previously until Karen thought Imogen kissed Greg. And as a result of all of this, Farron gets kicked out of Swan Lake. Which really sucks. Like, that's super tragic. I feel like that's the worst thing of like all the things.
Especially because there's no evidence that she did that.
And Noah's like, I had to take more drug tests now. And she's like, you know what? I bet her sister Kelly spiked her pee and peed in a cup and switched.
I don't know. I mean, maybe Kelly. I mean, Kelly would probably do whatever Karen tells her to do.
Kelly has to be involved somehow. There's no reason to make Karen a twin if Kelly's not involved. Besides,
yeah, totally.
The author really loves twins.
Yeah.
And so we find out that before Karen started dating Greg, she really wanted to get with Sean, who is Noah's boyfriend. And Imogen is like, you know what? She went after him and he wasn't interested. So obviously that's why Karen hates you, Noah.
I feel like this whole thing that Imogen was putting together just felt – I know that we hate Karen, but it felt like Imogen was just making up excuses that it was behind Karen, like so much so. And I felt like – I was like – I don't know, Imogen. Like, I don't think that you're a very good junior detective. Like, I feel as though you're just placing all the blame and just, like, you know, really pushing your narrative here.
Oh, I'm with you. A lot of this is like, really, though? Like, really?
I don't think any of this is – I don't think Karen's behind any of this, to be honest with you.
It'd be funny if she wasn't. And so then – so Karen says – or excuse me – yeah, Karen had said that Mouse put a dead rat in her bag. She's like, you're named after a rodent? Ew, that's disgusting. And Noah says, well, I did just call her a basic Barbie. And I love, I forget who says it. It might have been Tabitha who's like, how has she not been canceled yet?
I mean, just the fact that, like, why hasn't the Karen been canceled yet? It's pretty funny.
I know. It is very, like, tongue-in-cheek kind of thing. And then we get Beasley is a bitch, but so is Payback.
Yeah. So now they're coming up with what they want to do to pay Karen back since they're all convinced this is all Karen's fault.
Right. And what's funny about this is we get this. I was not expecting to go to this place. It zooms in on Imogen and she's like, we should kill Karen.
I was like, Imogen. I was like, Imogen, and how did we get here? How did we get here?
Is this another panic attack? I wonder if she's the one on Discord. Girl, is you okay?
Yeah, this really escalated fast, Imogen. Like, there's very one thing. Fast. It's like, how about, like, oh, let's cut her hair. Like, let's, like, teen witch this or whatever. But, like, yes. It's another thing to be like, let's kill her. There are probably cameras around. Do you know how many cameras that Tabby has all over the school? Billions. Yes.
So many GoPros.
Yeah. Please don't. Like, why did we have to escalate this? This was dangerous.
They also like zoom in on Imogen's face and she has this like very creepy smile, like this little smirk. And I'm like, this would do a whole different place than I was expecting.
Yeah. I was like, oh, how did we get here? I was like, Imogen, no girly.
Yeah.
No, let's do petty stuff. So it was an interesting way to end the episode. Once again, like, I do think that, like, overall the tone is dark, but it still has that very, like, typical Pretty Little Liars, like, kitschiness that we're what are we doing here? Like, what's happening? I'm really, really excited about this pilot. I think that it was the right amount of silly and scary, and I'm really looking forward to seeing everything that comes of this.
Yeah, I think it definitely has a darker, both visually and tonally, it's much darker than the original Pretty Little Liars. Mm-hmm. But I like that this style of show where it's like murder mystery-esque feels like it belongs on HBO because they can swear, it could be a bit darker, they can show murders, like it can get into darker content than you can on like an HBO or like an ABC Family type of thing. And so I really appreciate that it does have a home on HBO and that it is only 10 episodes because we're not going to feel bogged down in
a standard 22 episode season, which is not common anymore these days.
Exactly. Anyway. And so I'm really excited that we also have two different timelines kind of going on at the same time. And the parents may be in on it. And we have an interesting villain in Karen, and the fact that she has a twin sister is very interesting as well. So I'm really excited. I came into the show with like, yeah, it could be just a hot mess and that's cool too. But I do think they did good things with this first episode, but it still had that twinge of we can't take this too seriously because it's Pretty Little Liars and a lot of this is very silly. And so I'm very satisfied with the premiere. I'm really excited to see what's coming up next. Mm-hmm. And if you enjoyed this podcast and you want to subscribe, we are going to have our own feed. PosherRecaps.com/Pretty Little Liars is where you can find our feed. You could put it into your podcatcher of choice. Mm-hmm. Of course, we're also going to be in the HBO feed as well. If you hang out there, you'll see new episodes popping up there as well.
Yeah. Do you have any like off the wall predictions of who's behind any of this?
I mean, part of me is thinking that Angela, that obviously she's very young, so she probably didn't have a kid before she died, but that some descendant of Angela is involved, like someone's aunt was Angela and they're getting revenge on people. Or my other theory is it's one of the moms.
Interesting.
I don't know. What about you? Any theories so far?
Yeah. So I think that there's something definitely to like all of this is, you know, a product of the Angela thing. Yeah. The symbolism of A's for Angela being all over the place, I think that is very telling. Just as a person that kind of knows the show, once again, Pretty Little Liars loves twins. Sarah Shepard, the writer of the books, loves twins. I think like the twins I get like vibes from them, but I do think that they're probably the red herring. And then I also think we never got one of the girls in the original series of Pretty Little Liars being behind anything. And that is a theory that
it's a fun twist.
Fans really, really wanted. Specifically Aria back in the day, they really wanted Aria to be behind everything and being like Big A. And I wouldn't be surprised if either one of the girls, one of the five or six, or maybe even one of the moms was behind something, because I know like it's just like so much of what the fandom has wanted for a really long time.
Interesting. I could see that being true. Who would be, if you had to pick one of the five girls? We have Mouse, Imogen, Tabitha, Farron, and I'm missing one of them.
Tabby would be like pretty gnarly. Like it would probably be like the one that we wouldn't expect.
We know she's very sneaky.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen her with her GoPros.
I mean,
I think I'm least suspicious of Mouse. I feel like Mouse just feels.
That makes me most suspicious of Mouse.
No! That she feels very kind.
I think that like Taryn, I feel like Taryn doesn't have time for this shit.
Oh, Farron,
Farron, yeah, not Taryn, sorry.
The ballerina, yeah.
I don't think that she has time for this crap. I don't think
Noah does either. Noah has a lot going on.
Yeah. So I think that those are my two least likelies.
Yeah.
But just something to think about. Like, I just like, once again, within the streets of the fandom, I know it's been always been like a big want.
That would be fun. I wouldn't hate it. And I think that would actually make sense because we start out with the extra girl, because the original series had four and now we have five. And so if we have one, that's the bad one. Then you still have four of the good ones.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so really looking forward to it. Luckily, we don't have to wait to watch the second episode.
We don't. So this one will be releasing on the day we're recording on Thursday. We're going to hopefully put out our next podcast for episode 2 on Saturday. So we're going to be, like I said, because of the weird episode drops of 3223, just expect that we're always going to have all the episodes covered before new ones drop the following week. But I'm super stoked about this series. I just think there's nothing that can – it's either going to be really messy and really fun to talk about, or really good and really fun to talk about. I don't think there's an in-between with Pretty Little Liars. Like,
nope.
There's no middle ground for this show. So I'm really excited. I really had a great time talking about it. I really like these characters. I'm really interested to get more of them, see what Tabby's up to. There's a lot of secrets that – this is different than the original Pretty Little Liars in that not all of them have these like deep, dark secrets that are being revealed. Well, there's stuff going on, certainly, right? But like for Noah, for example, we know she did something. It's not a secret what she did because she obviously got caught, but we still don't know what it is. And so I want to know what that is, you know? Farron is the one that to me is like the most innocent, which means to me she must have a big secret. Like scoliosis is not a dirty secret. So there has to be something there, you know?
Yeah, but it just reminds me of like such shame when you had to, in elementary school, go for scoliosis testing. Yeah. And when they say that like your shoulders are out of line from your backpack or you have scoliosis, like I just remember as a kid, like that was like the most embarrassing thing in the world.
Well, yeah, when you're a kid, the major concerns you have are scoliosis, lice, and quicksand.
Right.
Those are your fears.
Right. So I don't understand why, once again, why it's such a big deal for Farron to have scoliosis.
No one knows. This show is just very dramatic.
Yeah.
But this was so much fun. Let's throw out some plugs with what we've got going on. Sarah, what do you have to shout from the rooftops this week?
Yeah, I am having a really great time in post-show recaps because not only am I covering Pretty Little Liars with you, I am also going to soon start covering the Amazon Prime series League of Their Own with Grace and Marissa. So I'm really excited to do that. We did a preview podcast going back to the movie. The 1992 movie, and we had a really great time talking about that. So check that out in the future. And then Jessica and I actually have a podcast together called Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. It is a 90s rewatch podcast where we talk about Boy Meets World. We are on the 6th season of Boy Meets World, and we also cover Dawson's Creek. We are on the 4th season of Dawson's Creek. We're almost at the fifth season, as well as other 90s content like movies. Sometimes we do brackets, lots of fun stuff over there. So that is Shit 90s Pod on Twitter and Instagram. You can find me at Sarah Ferguson.
Amazing. You could find me at the Jess Sterling, of course, here on Post Show Recaps. You can hear me all over the place. I talk community building on community building with Josh Wigler every week. We are currently in season three. You can also hear me talking about Paper Girls, which is an Amazon Prime Video show with Deidre Lipsicus. We're putting out podcasts on that simultaneously. Everything is dropping at once these days. And of course, like Sarah said, at Shit 90s Pod on Twitter and Instagram is where you can find us for Shit 90s Shows Taught Me. This has been so much fun. If you want to support the podcast, you could become a patron, PostShowRecaps.com/Patreon. There's so many perks and benefits. Of course, we have our own little thread talking about Pretty Little Liars. But there's so much going on in that Discord at all times. So feel free to join us there. You could also support the podcast by buying merch. We have merch now, PostShowRecaps.com/store. We have some very cute t-shirts and mugs and a Wigler's Wombats hat if you want to get one of those. So feel free to check out all of that. And of course, make sure you subscribe to the podcast, PostShowRecaps.com/Pretty Little Liars. So you could just keep track of all the podcasts we're going to be putting out for this season. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back in just a couple of days. We'll see if one of the two of us can keep a secret, because otherwise, I don't know, we're going to have to find a replacement co-host or something, I guess.
Yeah, I think the moral of the story is that only one could be the podcaster at the end.
Exactly. We'll see who survives. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Talk to you next time. Bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.